HealthNow.com.
You know by now, we go inside the Beltway with a true insider from Talk Radio News. Victoria Jones joins us now. Victoria, heading into the week, and because this just happened at the tail end of last week, the president announcing that all the troops would come home by the end of the year, I mean all of them, that has to be the big news. What was the reaction over the weekend to what the president had to say?
Well, I mean, it was very interesting that there's you almost got the impression that there had been some discussion among Republicans for how they should respond to this, because both Senator Lindsey Graham and Michelle Bachmann made references to the president's policies coming out of Chicago. Senator Lindsey Graham said, "I would argue Iraq and Afghanistan is being run out of Chicago, not Washington, in terms of decisions," because he was saying that key foreign policy decisions are being made for political reasons. And he was critical of the president for planning to withdraw U.S. troops from Iraq by the end of the year. Michelle Bachmann was extremely critical. She not only said that Iraq should reimburse the U.S. fully for the amount of money we've spent to liberate these people. They're not a poor country. They're a wealthy country. But she said, you know, that the withdrawal was politically based rather than military based. She said it's more like a General Axelrod is making this decision. Then John McCain also was extremely critical about this. Then I'll get to Syria in a minute, what he said on that, which was very interesting. Secretary Clinton, however, was extremely strong in what she said about the president. And she said something really quite interesting. She said, remember that it was President Bush who set the timetable in motion by agreeing with the Iraqis that all troops would be out by the end of this year. And, of course, President Obama promised the American people that the troops would be out by the end of this year. But we're always open to discussing with partner countries what their needs are. But she said something else which I thought was very, very interesting. She said, the point of our involvement in Iraq was to create the opportunity for the Iraqis to have their own future without the oppression of a dictator like Saddam Hussein. And here's what, where it got really interesting. Now, you can't, on the one hand, say you are all for democracy and sovereignty and independence where people make their own choices. And on the other hand, say when a choice is made that is foreseen by our government going back to the Bush administration, that that is somehow not appropriate.
Yeah, touche, absolutely. Hey, you said it about McCain, that McCain obviously reacted to the situation with the troop withdrawal and Libya. I mean, it was like a plethora from him. He talked about everything, including Syria. But the real bombshell, pardon the pun, is McCain says, is this true, Victoria, that the U.S. should consider use of military action?
Well, he seems to be saying that. And, of course, back in April, he was very strongly against that. In April, he said, I don't see a scenario right now or any time in the future where the injection of U.S. or NATO military action would in any way beneficially help the situation, I'm sorry to say. He said, now today, he said, now that military operations in Libya are ending, there will be a renewed focus on what practical military operations might be considered to protect civilian lives in Syria. He went on to talk about the Assad regime. In this way, there is no moral distinction whatsoever between the case of Libya and that of Syria. The question is, what can be done about it?
Yeah, exactly. What can be done about it? So really, you know, it's crazy, and we've been talking to you for a long time now. The Middle East is, so to speak, wide open when it comes to leadership. It's kind of interesting to see at this point the way all the states are lining up. If you look at what's happened, I mean, all the countries are lining up. If you look at what's just happened, I think this is the biggest turnover, certainly in my lifetime, we've ever seen, and I'm sure the same for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, the other thing that came across very strongly today, and also in the immediate reaction, and this really was lockstep by the presidential candidates, was Iran. And this was the huge failure of the president to consider the strengthening of Iran. And this came out again today, the emphasis on Iran. And Now, Hillary Clinton said that Iran should not miscalculate U.S. resolve as troops leave Iraq. And she said Iran would be badly miscalculating if they did not look at the entire region and all of our presence in many countries in the region, both in bases and in training with NATO allies like Turkey, she said. There's another piece which I think, I don't know whether they're factoring it in, but it was the presence of people in the Iraqi government, like people like Muqtada al-Sadr, but all, and others who did not want the Americans there, who were pro-Iran, who ensured that it wasn't possible to reach a deal.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not sure that they're, you're right, I haven't heard that. I'm sure that that's, for some reason, that's not being discussed at this point.
No, it's really not. So what is being said is that Obama failed to secure a deal and that this whole thing is on Obama. But part of the reality is that the Iraqis did not want a deal on immunity. They did not want American troops to have immunity from prosecution.
Yeah. Do you think, and because you're covering D.C. and you've covered it for a long time, I mean, this is going to play out in different ways for some Republicans and for some Democrats, but do you think this is going to be the gist of the conversation rolling into the week is going to be Iran and also the situation with the troops coming out of Iraq?
I think that this is certainly going to be part of the conversation, most definitely, yes, I do. I do think this is going to be a part of the conversation. But ultimately, I think the conversation is going to go back to the economy. You know, we've got the super committee is set to report on the 23rd of November, and I think that's going to be the focus is going to start to really come down on that.
How about this? Let me ask you this from your point of view. If looking at Obama, now with the troops coming out, because that was one of his campaign promises that he was getting pounded about in Iraq, you have that, and then you have Anwar al-Awlaki taking him out, and, of course, the same thing with Osama bin Laden, and now the Gaddafi, taking Gaddafi out. Foreign affairs-wise, do you think the president gets a little bit of a bounce from this, or no? As you mentioned, we keep coming back to the economy, so do you think he doesn't really see much as far as polling is concerned?
Yeah, I don't think he gets a bounce on this. Or if he does, it's a mini bounce, because I don't think that the American public is bothered too much. I think also the American public probably thought that Gaddafi was going to die anyway, or something was going to happen, or else he was going to ride off into the sunset on a horse, you know, or in a convoy and continue to make trouble. But I don't think he gets a bounce on this. So I don't think it's going to help him. And, you know, it was so interesting listening to the candidates saying today, no, he got bin Laden. Yeah, no, he got Gaddafi, and he got al-Awlaki, and he got so-and-so and so-and-so. But he's failed in foreign policy.
Yeah, so it keeps coming back to, hey, it's the us's and the thems, so forget it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. It's going to be a fun week, I think, in Washington, but isn't it always, Victoria?
Always.
Yeah. Victoria Jones, thanks so much for joining us on the weekend, heading into the week. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you here later in the week on America Tonight.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Healthy garden, easy and fast with OrganicaSeed.com. Easy because OrganicaSeed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to OrganicaSeed.com, spelled OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com. Remember, OrganicaSeed is healthy seed.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. On Placing a Silver Dollar in a Book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237. Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common-sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
We want to know. How do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer. I had to go cross town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
So Gaddafi's on ice, and the Iraq war is over from the U.S. point of view. Troops home by December. Hot headlines heading into, as I mentioned to Victoria, a long weekend. Kate D. hanging on these airwaves with you across the U.S. And it couldn't be any bigger. I mean, first Gaddafi, and then, boom, right in the wake of that, the president takes the airwaves heading into the weekend and says, everybody's home for the holidays. We're going to start the convoys. Everybody's pulling out. That's it. We're meeting with the Prime Minister, Nuri al-Maliki. We've been talking about it, and we've worked it out. So, yes, there still will be diplomatic ties, relations, people on the ground helping them in that way, but the troops, the occupation, it is over. Now, what has happened since that announcement is the blowback from that. Some people saying, well, wait a second. So what happens now when we leave Iraq? What happens to that country after all of the blood, sweat, tears, and money, frankly, that we have dumped in to Iraq? And the answer is, right now, currently, everything is fine. Yes, there's still problems with some warring factions, and you'll have the occasional car bomb or some horrible thing happen in a religious dwelling, but certainly nothing that was going on before, and definitely nothing like Saddam Hussein. The feeling is, with Nouri al-Maliki, is we've really learned everything we can, and we will still need the United States' help in implementing certain things, but we got it, and you're done. How does this play for Obama? See, to me, that's the real curiosity. Victoria, who's covered politics there for a long time in D.C., says no bouts. She says nothing happens. He gets nothing out of this. I mean, certainly in a debate or when he's campaigning, he can say, I promised to have the troops out. And guess what? At the end of my term, my first term, the troops are out. I told you I'd do that. I heard you. And they're out. He could talk about Osama bin Laden, although that would be a little bit downplayed. And then he could talk about terrorism in general. So I don't know that I agree that there isn't any kind of a move for the president. Now, with the elections being 13 months away, you could make the argument that how long does that last? I checked the Gallup polls because they do a three-day rolling average. That's what it's called. And they track the percentage of Americans who approve or disapprove of the job Obama's doing as press. And right now it shows that he's gotten a bounce because of the news. It's showing that, in fact, he's jumped up a tad in the approval category, 44 and counting. 44, 45, 46, 47. Ultimately, is this just a little temporary move? Because at the lowest point, the term low is 41. So that's a bounce. I mean, if it's just a little bit, it's a little bit. Does it stay? Does it last? And do you think, even if you do not like this current president, who occupies 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. And every once in a while, you got to say, I'll give you that. It's like having sportsmanship in a way, because I compare sports to politics. Really, that's what it's like. The us's and the them's. You play for that team, I play for that team. That's what it's come down to. So does he get a few attaboys from some of the so-called other side? Well, let me tell you, John McCain, the longtime senator from Arizona, he was having none of it. He was saying quite the opposite, saying that, man, now looking at this departure from Iraq, could this be premature in the situation, that we're seeing there? And what about Syria? Shouldn't we have troops on the ground in Syria? And will we be regretting this? And right away, Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, comes to the administration's side to say, well, let's not miscalculate this, that if, we're talking about Iraq here, and just because we're having this troop withdrawal at the end of the year, we're still continuing a training mission in Iraq that's been agreed to. So that means here's who's going to be left behind: a U.S. Marine contingent, a defense attaché, an Office of Security Cooperation, and we're also going to have a presence, as we always have, in Turkey. So part of the reason, I think, for saying that was, to Iran, don't think, because think of how close the troops were, don't think because we pull back our major forces that we're not keeping our eyes on you. But what I want to know, and what I can't seem to get out of anything that I've heard from any of these politicians, is, was the 10-year war in Iraq worth it? Was it worth it? Massive sacrifice here. How many people died? How much blood was shed? How many people lost limbs? How many lives were ripped apart? Was it worth it? And I want to know what you think, America. You can send me your thoughts at americatonight.net. Click on the email or jingle the numbers 800-259-5791. For my money, I think it was smart to pull the troops out. I think it should have been done a long time ago. over $1 trillion spent, money left and right that we could not afford, our country draining its resources. Look at our unemployment rate and everything else here at home. We got to take care of us sometimes. And I agree with Ron Paul. Whether people think he is off his rocker or not, I think he's on point. And he said this a long time ago. You have to pull back on foreign interest in the sense of the money that we are pumping into other countries that we can't afford. So, with Iraq seemingly a little bit out of the picture, in a big way, we need that money. We need to pull those people back. But I think it's fair to look at 10 years, just like any of us would look back on our lives and say, well, geez, what happened in your 20s? What happened in your 30s? What happened in your 40s? Whatever. Was it worth this? Did you make the right moves here or there? Because you only learn by the things that you've done, right? You know, that whole thing about history repeating itself. So what did we learn from the situation in Iraq? And do we take away anything from this in the category of, okay, here are the positives. Here are the positive things that happened as a result of Iraq. And then you have Syria and whether or not Syria is something to fear. Because now you look at Libya. I mentioned the fact that Muammar Gaddafi is on ICE, and you know what? He really is. He's on commercial ICE. You can see him on display, his dead body in Misrata. And that's what people are doing. They're going to look at his dead body on display. The dictator disposed. But instead, it's official. As of Sunday, Mustafa Abdul Jalil declares that Libya is going to adopt Sharia law as the basis of the new government. And you know what that means? Oh, all kinds of things. Think of a hard Islamic fist. For example, what does it mean? It means the cancellation of all bank loans, because that's a violation of law. For the men, it means that they can marry a few more women. For the women, it means look out if you get accused of anything nearing adultery. They could stone you to death, even at the hint of that or pinning it on you. And I think there are a lot of conflicts with Sharia law and current societies and cultures, including Libya's own. So, Libya, Sharia law. We're talking about it next with Karen Lugo. That's our Daily Re-Rack. Stay with us.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world. Concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's One World, W-H-E-Y.com.
Question becomes, what next now that deposed Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi has been killed? Who better to have on the show than Karen Lugo? She's an Islamic law expert and constitutional law attorney. Because what is the impact of now the death of Gaddafi and, of course, the future of Libya and the United States? Karen, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight with us.
Sure. Definitely quite an interesting day as far as the news went. And I think there's a tremendous amount of concern in the United States now that we've seen what happened with Egypt and the fact that, in fact, as I was talking to a professor who is an American professor but teaches on Tahrir Square, she was so excited about the fact that Egyptians were running around in the early days looking for copies of the Federalist Papers books and thinking that this was going to actually be an organic kind of, you know, giving birth to a real sense of democracy. And to look at what has happened in Egypt and, you know, for the informed observer, understand that their situation is becoming progressively more authoritarian. There's more persecution of the Copts. It is now looking more genocidal in a sense that the Copts are either having to flee or face what if anyone watched the videos of what happened recently with the demonstration, because the Copts, there have been several situations with the military firing live rounds into churches being burned. And now we see the armored vehicles actually chasing down and killing the Christians who are demonstrating. So we definitely have not seen an improvement or any sign of real promise of democracy in Egypt. And those of us who have been watching what's happened in Libya have actually now been understanding that as three of the leaders of this junta or whichever movement you're looking at, but that is taking control or plans to take control, are talking about implementation of Sharia law. It is a very, very frightening thing because Sharia in these countries is a very hardline, strict Islamist political regime rather than something that might have become westernized to the point that it's more of a Sharia light in Western countries.
Yeah, so what do you think, Karen, that people don't understand? Because when you dive into the culture and you umbrellaed it for us, and that was great about Sharia law, how it's the real hardline approach. So what does that mean, for example, for women in that country?
It's devastating for women simply because everything about the system is based upon a tribal sense of honor and shame, and everything reflects on the male. So what the woman does, says, how she dresses, how her marital terms are negotiated, at what age she is promised to be married, all of these things have to do with how well the man controls his family and how he is viewed within this tribal system. And so it becomes very difficult for women to have any sense of autonomy, any freedom to express themselves, any freedom to pursue a career. And certainly, in fact, I've just done a survey of American law, family law cases where Sharia has been accepted in our courts, because we give what's called comity or respect to other legal jurisdictions as people move in from other countries. And so we have been recognizing some of these marital arrangements where the women, first of all, before the woman's married, all the terms are negotiated by a man who may or may not be a family member. And then as if the marriage should dissolve and there's a dispute, it's a matter of an agreement early on, usually before the marriage, where the woman has agreed to very, very little compared to what we would view as equitable terms under community property. And she doesn't get the children and. So it is a very, very discriminatory system against women. And as much as we talk about reform, it's not happening.
Wow. And so, you know, you look at what happened under the Gaddafi regime, and now you look at what it could be leaning toward, this Sharia law, and it's kind of like going from the frying pan right into the fire almost, don't you think?
That's what we're worried about. There's no way to know. It's like there's a hornet's nest, and you know it's bad, and you know it's dangerous, but everybody's buzzing around, and you know, things are contained, and there's some sense of status quo. And so that was bad. But what's coming when you kick that open, and as much as we were involved in the process of kicking it open, we should have made it clear that we would be involved in the process. And certainly those who are expecting freedom and some sense of semblance maybe of democracy, you know, are going to be very disappointed, because all we're doing now is talking about encouraging democratic leaning and, you know, things that are all just very vague and ideal sounding, but there is no sense that we will have, or any Western nation will have, any real leverage when it comes to a government that would have any kind of balancing powers or divisions within government where there's accountability, where you even have the separation of powers that we know is so important within a democracy. So it is a very, very devastating situation, especially considering Israel. The border with Egypt was one of the borders they didn't have to worry about. And so between Egypt and Libya and the people that are fleeing those regions, there just is a tremendous amount of unrest. And certainly the uncertainty is something that we worry about, because the Muslim Brotherhood is so well organized.
Yeah, I agree with you on the Muslim Brotherhood, and I think people don't realize that it, really you're talking about it being littered with the people that would practice the hardline Sharia law. That's what it would be. And that's what you, as you said, Egypt and now Libya and Israel. You know, so what's at stake for Israel? I mean, everything. It's the whole game, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, where it was very difficult for Israel, and I was there recently and flew in a helicopter at some of the most narrow parts and looked down at their defensive. In fact, the whole trip had to do with assessing their defensive abilities and what the threats were. And this was before this whole idea that there would be this kind of Arab upheaval, which in the beginning I know we thought we wanted to look at as an Arab Spring, but in these areas where Muslim Brotherhood models, if you look at what they've done in Africa, you know that they are experts at coming in with the medical facilities, with the schools, with the whole sense of order. And then with that, the people really do capitulate to a sense of control because they, you know, to have the order and the food and the just a sense of stability. What they may not be realizing is that when they agree to this, they have also then agreed to a sense of that kind of hardline Sharia control. So for Israel, this would be a very ominous trend and something that, especially in light of the recent prisoner exchange, I think just sets a very, very bad tone for the future.
Yeah, I agree. What about the United States in all of this now that this has happened? What happens here?
At the point that we are looking toward a future where certain uprisings, you look at what happened in Iran, and there are the same kinds of elements in Syria that look to us, just like parts of the Soviet Union did, to really to follow through on our commitment to help with those groups that decided that they wanted democracy enough to actually go out in the streets and pay for it with their blood. And in those countries, there was huge potential in a country where, certainly in Iran, we face a very serious military and certainly destabilization threat, as much as they're involved in Iraq and the things that we've had to encounter with what they've done with IED devices. So when thinking about the fact that we actually could have had leverage, I wrote recently about this Christian pastor who Iran has sentenced to be hanged because he won't recant his Christian faith, and what we could be doing to have rolling hunger strikes and how we could be influencing that. And if there was just an outcry and a person like that, a popular person who is standing against a regime, all we would have to do is support that. And yet we seem to find a few platitudes that hit the newspapers and the next day it's forgotten. So I think we've had tremendous opportunity to be influential. And where it's been important, we've completely overlooked it. And instead, we're running around putting advisors into the Sudan.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's interesting you bring this up, the Sudan. You have the situation in the Sudan and Iran and their examples of this hardline Sharia law that you're talking about, some of the worst, right?
You know, the Sudan, it's so difficult to even contemplate what the rules of engagement will be for our troops, because certainly if they are going to actually be confronting these forces that are, you know, don't operate by rules of war or civilized senses of war that we understand, there's certainly no idea that the Geneva Convention prevails. So to have our boots on the ground advising, quote, is a really difficult proposition. And so you look at some of these situations where we're getting mired in these really complicated, who knows whose side we're on and what we're really fighting for, and worse, what we expect the result to be. It's just, you know, you throw up your hands and it looks like we're jumping into messes we don't belong in because we don't have any idea what we want the outcome to be. And yet we bypass some great opportunities for potential just helping the people themselves with a revolt and some kind of potential reform. And we're not involved there. So I go figure. I really, you know, to be spending the money, blood and treasure that we are, without having any influence is very difficult to comprehend.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Perfect place to end this interview. Karen Lugo, thanks so much. Islamic law expert and constitutional law attorney. We appreciate it.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for three decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Do you live where ice storms, blizzards, tornadoes, floods, earthquakes, or hurricanes occur? Who doesn't? Well, most of us do, and when they occur, one of the first things to happen is the power goes out. When Hurricane Irene hit, over 5 million homes were without power. Just having light around the house becomes very important. Arm yourself with the new 50-hour emergency candle in a can. Just pull the pop-top lid. The matches are safe inside and light up the candle for 50 hours of continuous light. The candle and matches are together when you need them the most. Emergency light that has an indefinite shelf life, always ready and won't go dead like batteries. 50-hour emergency candles are $7.95 each or four for $28. Call toll-free 1-855-485-8555, 855-485-8555, or order online at candlesincans.com. One more time, that's 855-485-8555, or visit us at candlesincans.com.
As we head to the finish line here for this hour of America Tonight, starting off the week with me, Kate Delaney. Thanks for being aboard. If you've never listened to the show before, I hope you hung around and learned something from our last segment and cruising into, as I said, the final segment of the show. Time for another Did You Know? Did you know that people are still having babies because the population of the world, they say, could grow to 15 billion by 2100. Raise your hand if you think you're going to be alive at 2100. We get to that point in our history. So nearly 7 billion are currently on the planet. That's the projections anyway. You know, give or take, because how do we count heads? Well, census stuff and other countries' ways of doing it, similar methods to our own census. But let's just say that, give or take, we're pretty close. Is that a shocking number to you? Do you think that's far too high? You know, I saw a UN estimate about this when I was at the UN broadcasting, gosh, I guess it was back in June, and they talked about the world was going to have 10 billion people by 2100. Well, now we start to do the math, 7 billion, now we're talking about 15 billion. You know, either way, I'd say that's pretty overcrowded, don't you think so? So if you want to break it down even further, you talk about this month, somewhere on Earth, a person will be born who will take the population over the 7 billion mark. Imagine. Imagine if you were that person. So how do we sustain all of that? You know, to me, the crazy number is that the Earth has now doubled in population since the 1960s. But where are all these births happening? Geez, in America, it seems like a lot of people are getting divorced and you're having two children versus four or five. Not everybody, but it seems that way. There are people that are opting out of having kids. There are people that are having onlys. So that onlys are just one, just in case you didn't know. Where's the population coming from? Well, if you thought Africa, Asia, and Latin America, ding, 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 you get extra credit. Yes, that's what's happening because I guess they have access now to better health care. That makes sense with all the charities helping and whatnot. So the mortality rate for a lot of the kids that were dying, that's going away. That's declined. Otherwise, that's where it would be that natural, sadly, that process. I didn't say natural process, but it would be that process because they didn't have good medicine. Now the lifespans are increasing. So that's where most of that's coming from. But 15 billion. Wow, that is like a population explosion times 10. Isn't that, what do you do then? Family planning? Family planning can't be that expensive even for some of these countries. I would think there would have to be some family planning and conversations involved. Because I think, to me, I think $15 billion is unsustainable. At least I can't wrap my head around that. So that's an interesting did you know. In fact, we're going to have a scientist on in the next couple of weeks to talk about the exploding population and what does that mean. And is it really a strain on resources or what do you do to make sure it's not a strain on resources? Okay, this is a strain certainly on your eyes if you were taking a vacation in Hawaii and you find out that about 20 million tons of tsunami debris are actually nearing the Hawaiian Islands. It's true. Oh, all that money you save for your entire life. You're on a beach in Kauai and you look out and you see crap coming toward the shore and it's just tons of it. And you're thinking, what is that? The answer is, yes, it's true. It's what happened in Japan. There's a new report that's from a Russian ship. They have a bunch of researchers on the ship, and they say since the March 11th earthquake and that horrible tsunami, it's going to take maybe 2 years for the debris from Japan to hit the west-facing beaches. The rough estimate of 5 to 20 million tons of debris, an average of 10, these are crazy numbers, aren't they? An average of 10 million tons of debris, the same released into the North Pacific Basin in 1 year, was dislodged and set adrift. So, I mean, it's already drifting. Hawaii's in the path. And they're calculating the waves and they're doing computer analysis on it to try to figure that out. And they think they have it pretty much locked in. It should be hitting Honolulu, probably. That's scary, isn't it? But at least there's a little time in this. In less than 2 years, that's when it'll arrive. So if you're planning a vacation to Hawaii, you might plan accordingly. And if you want information, more specific information on the dates, email me. At AmericanTonight.net, and I will gladly send you the estimates that we have. I think that's a pretty scary did you know. Because what do you do? If you're the Hawaiian Islands, we got to do something to intercept that. For goodness sake, you can't have that hit the west beaches. You can't allow that to happen. That's unthinkable, huh? Speaking of unthinkable, you know, we started off the show talking about, look what happened in Libya. If you want to go see Gaddafi's body, which a lot of people are in Misrata, because you think of the horrible things and what a terrible dictator, terrorist dictator he was. So they want to spit on the glass where he is. It's a refrigerated see-through glass where you can see him and, you know, smash their hands against it and whatever and say things. But he's gone. And now there's a new regime. And the new regime is Islamic law, baby. It's Sharia law. And you heard, if you were listening, some of the conversation about what does that mean for the people. Is it out of the frying pan in a terrible situation into a worse situation? Hey, Gaddafi was a thug, a bully, certainly abused his people and ripped them off. But now you're talking about a whole different game, too. Now you're not talking about democratic-like freedoms. You're talking about Sharia law, and perhaps a lot of the people will embrace that. But after everything that NATO has pumped into this, you think they were hoping that this was going to happen, that it was going to be Sharia law? It's all about that outcome. Now, in Tunisia, they started to begin to vote in their first free elections. How about that? Tunisia really started things off. Remember, it was Tunisia, then Egypt, then Libya. Now we're seeing what's going on in Syria, certainly. Who knows what happens in some of the other Middle Eastern countries. It's crazy the way those dominoes are falling in succession. So Tunisians started doing that process. Free, truly free elections. I saw some video of the people, and it looked like it could have been anywhere in America. They were going in. There were women with headscarves, and there were younger people and some older people, and they were waiting in line, and they had their little certificate with them, and they were walking in, and they were voting. How about that? Who ultimately is the new person to step in there? It could be kind of a democratic-like feel of a government. Is, you know, what does this mean? If Tunisia's election produces an effective new government, they'll be kind of an inspiration, wouldn't they be, to any kind of pro-democracy advocates, I would think, in the Middle East or in that region, anywhere in that region. Now, it's not going to spread so much to Libya because Gaddafi gets killed by those rebel forces, but as I said, the Sharia law is now what's going to be in place there unless something drastically suddenly changes in the next couple of days, but I doubt it. So what's interesting is people are voting with their identity cards, and they're worried about the confusion during the polls. So you've got 4,000 foreign observers to make sure that it goes smoothly. And there's 33 districts. 6 are abroad. They have a choice of between 40 and 80 electoral lists, and it consists of parties and independent candidates. Boy, you have to really do your homework there, don't you? I think that's a good way to end, Did You Know? They're going to do it the free and fair way, and we'll see what turns up. Seems like the center-left PDP party, it's called, is probably the one that gets in place, but maybe not. Either way, it's fascinating to sit on the sidelines and watch them go through that process.
Hey, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?